You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is somewhere.
Pump, yes. Hey.
The camel is taken off. Even the camel is thrown off by the time changes a little bit.
Oh, he had to take a bathroom break.
Oh, really? Good to know. TMI. Welcome into hour number two. Glad to be along with you. Coming up here at hour number two, at the bottom of the hour, Tim Grierson, senior film critic in the United States for Screen Daily and the Los Angeles Times, will be in to talk a little Nicolas Cage with us and films as well. Always appreciate when Tim takes the time to stop by. And coming up in a minute, what's worse, dealing with analog versus digital? That's how I'll characterize it. So we'll take those for you as well. A couple of things to get to. First of all, ended last hour with a couple of callers and people on YouTube would like keep bringing up this, what I think is ridiculous. No disrespect to the callers, texters, that sort of thing. I'm saying whoever's perpetuating this at the top of whatever chain, they're just ridiculous claims. Somehow the 2024 election was somehow thrown off and not fair and not accurate. And I just said, look, I spent 90% of my time roughly on this program going after my former party, the Republicans, which I left in 2011, long before Donald Trump ever got on the scene. And I spent about 10% of the time roughly to suss out the truth on the Democratic side. Because, you know, I'm an independent. I don't think either side is 100% right all the time. I vote Democratic. Voted that way ever since 2011 doesn't mean I'm not a card-carrying member, A, and B, I don't think they're always right. And so this whole theory that somehow there's data there that shows that it was off and you know, there's this whole other theory out there. I don't like to talk about it very much because I don't want to give credence to it, but when people call in and then say that Tom Hartman on the show before me, the national show, talks about this stuff and gives it credence, that's just fueling the fire for, and people say, well, Todd, you say sometimes, you know, there are people on the far right and the far left. Who's far left? If you believe this kind of Sasquatch Bigfoot stuff, you're far left. I'm sorry, you are. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tom and McFarland called in during the break. Tom, what do you want to say?
Thanks for taking my call, and I am so with you. And, you know, I think that if there's anything that could be put to rest is this idea that Elon Musk is some kind of IT genius, like he likes to pattern himself after Tony Stark on the Marvel Universe. But he is just as much of a character as Tony Stark is in the Marvel Universe. And he knows as much about IT as Donald Trump does about business, which is diddly over squat. I mean, look what he did with Twitter.
Right.
So the idea that Musk can somehow or another engineer something like this, A, it literally is impossible.
Yeah.
Our voting systems, as we demonstrated from the last time that we came up, the systems that they say would be needed to hack into the system, our voting systems don't use those systems. They're not connected in the way that they said. What we have,
bingo,
each state having its own system, its own hodgepodge collection. There's not some uniform federal election system that they can hack into. It's 50 different ways. And to think that any one entity could hack into this, it boggles my mind, particularly since our systems aren't connected to the internet. How would they actually be able to do this? No. So, yes, thank you very much. The idea that Musk is some kind of another super genius when everything he touches is destroyed, exactly like he does with Trump, give it a rest.
Yeah.
Instead, look at how Democrats are lousy at messaging when they're great at governance. That's the problem, is we need to change up our messaging. Republicans are great at it, which is why they won. Democrats, we suck at it, which is why we lost. We don't connect with voters at a messaging level. And until that changes, well, I guess we're going to go after the conspiracy theories, because I guess that makes more sense. Sure. Okay.
Great call, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt.
Thanks. Great. Appreciate it, Tom. Tom McFarland, great call. 855-752-4842. Want to get to what's worse, but let's go up to WCFW, beautiful Eau Claire in Chippewa Valley up there. Jean and Eau Claire, what say you?
Hi. Well, you know, I'm no computer expert, but I remember watching, when all the bikers are at the Black Hills, you know, for the big motorcycle rally. Watch it every year. Before, they had all kinds of Trump signs. Everything was Trump, 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 F Biden, all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing supporting Trump. So I thought, whoa, that's a good sign. I don't know anything about computers. I know that Wisconsin's elections are safe, but are all of the other ones? See, I don't know anything about this stuff, but boy, you know, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am concerned, though, about what the devil's going on in our country right now, in the way that Trump's attacking all of the structures that make America safe, make America, you know, be able to thrive, and the way that he is bashing every single one of them, going after everything, you know, with all the confusion and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really concerned about our country, and I hope the people really and truly wake up, and I'm really proud of all those people who are out there in the streets having their voices heard saying this is wrong. So you guys are doing such a great job. I am so thankful for Civic Media to get information, facts out to people. So thank you very much for the outstanding services that you provide to the state of Wisconsin and even to the United States. So thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate.
And have a good day. Bye-bye.
Appreciate the show. Appreciate the call, Gene. Thank you so very much. Always a pleasure. 13 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go.
This or that. This or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can go with this or you can
time once again
that.
For What's Worse. No prize money involved. That. Nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard all across the state of Wisconsin here on all 11 News Talk Station sports as well across Civic Media's radio network. No better way to get your message out than to advertise with us. Go to civicmedia.us to have your chance to learn how to advertise on Civic Media. Join our team. We would love to have you. All right, timely indeed, because nicer weather is ominous. People are going out eating. I think I love to eat outside during this time of year when it's getting warmer.
It's very nice, yeah.
Exactly. Well, now, and as someone who worked in the service industry for a while and managed a sports bar, I'll tell you one of the things that gets the dirtiest in a restaurant, the menus, like whether they're paper or they're plastic. Because if you're a good restaurant, you take sanitizer and you wipe those down at least once a day, if not a couple of times a day. And so now here's our What's Worse category today. Menu QR codes or paperless tickets. Menu QR codes or paperless tickets. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you. Now, I don't blame you if you don't know what the menu QR code is, because there are some areas that just don't have them yet.
It's in places like Madison. They're cropping up a lot.
Green Bay.
Yeah. What Wisconsin would consider bigger cities.
Right. And so what it is you go in and you sit down at a restaurant and they have a QR code. It's a square that looks like a bunch of squiggly lines within the square. And you take out your smartphone and you take a picture of it, and that takes to a link of a menu for that restaurant. And so you look at the menu on your phone, and they don't have a paper menu. And, you know, it's probably more sanitary, obviously, because you're not touching something else. But you got to have the phone. You got to take it out. I don't know. And then paperless tickets, you know, again, whether it's Brewers or Packers or Badgers, it goes to your smartphone now. And you have a ticket on your phone. You don't have a paper ticket.
Right. And with a lot of the apps now, you can't have a screenshot of your ticket because then they think, you know, someone else might use it. You have to have the app and have it open, and it'll have like lines moving over the ticket. Not every app does, but Ticketmaster, I know, does that now.
So what's worse, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Brian in Milwaukee. Brian, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening on WAUK. What say you?
Yeah, no, I love this game. I wait for this every day.
I appreciate that.
I really do. Yeah. Just from experience, I'm going to say the QR codes, because like you said, you have to pull out the phone, and then you have to line it up exactly with the code, take the photo. Sometimes the link doesn't open. There's bad Wi-Fi in the restaurant. And I will say from experience, go to like the Marcus Center to see a performance or whatever. At least with the paperless tickets, like you stated, you open up the app, pull up the ticket, they just scan it, bam, you're done, you're in. It's so convenient, but those QR codes would be a pain in the butt all the time.
I agree. So, I agree. Yeah. It's not, it does, and that's the, I'm an analog guy living in a digital world. That's the bottom line.
I thought it was a great thing. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. And then after like the third time I'm trying to open that QR, I'm like, can I just have a regular menu? Oh, yeah, we got it right over here. Great. Just put one in at every table.
And I like the feel of a menu. I like to have it in my hand. I can look it over all at once.
And you're trying to scan through and it's a mess. I hate it.
Totally agree. Thanks, Brian, for the call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, menu QR codes or paperless tickets?
We have several texts, but there's one I want to highlight.
All right.
Something that particularly annoys me about this. Right. Travis in Greenfield, listening on WAUK, texts in and says, the menu QR code is fine, but I don't like having to download the menu just to see it. Just take me to the website to read it. Oh, I totally agree. A lot of menu QR codes make you download a PDF. And then that takes longer. And then it's just junk on your phone. And then it'll be like, oh, you need another PDF for the drink menu. Oh, you need another one for the dessert menu. Like that, you know, I agree with Travis. That's really annoying when they do that.
Yeah, it's more work at the end of the day. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Get the Civic Media app today. What's worse, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? Let's go down to beautiful Greene County and Monroe. Angie in Monroe, always a pleasure. Angie, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? What's worse?
I actually am a previous server, but I never used to do it. I haven't done it lately, so I don't know how the QR code part goes. I'm curious to how easy it is for walkouts and if the servers have to pay. Because usually that's how it always was, you know, you get start paying for that. But how would you know when they're walkout and paying on these QR codes? That's my question.
Well, right. No, stay. Go ahead.
I personally would pay cash because when you pay cash, the server gets to claim a lot less of it. Just point it out there. And it's better for the business also. They don't have to pay for the MasterCard charge stuff. Just putting it out there. So
I appreciate it. Thanks, Angie. No, we did that once before. We did cashless or
whatever. Cash only.
Or cash only. Yeah, Angie brings up. Either way, try to leave your tip in cash. It's better for your server. Back after this with more What's Worse and Tim Grierson from the LA Times and Screen Daily ahead as well. It's the Todd Oliveball Show, a Wednesday edition on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oliveball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. What's worse, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? Menu QR codes or paperless tickets? 22 now past the hour. Glad to have you along. Coming up at the bottom, Tim Grierson, senior film critic at Screen Daily and also writes for the LA Times. Talk a little Nicolas Cage coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. Casper weighing in on WMDX says, I haven't printed a physical ticket for an airline ticket in 10 years. 10 years. He's clearly for the paperless tickets. Very good. Adam, now this is great, Adam. Are you in Oregon or are you in Oregon? Adam says, menu QR codes are worse because I'm old enough when you save your concert tickets as a souvenir after seeing a band. I agree with you 100%, Adam. I am the same way. I've still got somewhere, because I never got it framed, my ticket when I went to the Overture Center across the street and saw Tony Bennett live. I have a ticket from my friend Jeff Daniels took me to the big Nolan Ryan game at County Stadium. I'm 100% with you on that.
I would always save movie tickets too when I was younger. Like, I think really? I got to see if I still have it. Take a look. But I think I still have my ticket from when I went to go see Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith in 2006.
Really? Very good. 855-752-4842. Go to beautiful Oconto. And Tom, listening in. Tom, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? What's worse?
I'm going to be honest with you. I like them both.
You like them both. All right.
And the reason the QR code menu can be up to date. If you've got 20 servings of sea bass and now you've served 20 servings, you just gray that out. If your special is meatloaf, it's on the menu. If there's rotating seasonal beers, they're on the menu. They're not a printed menu that the server has no idea what's actually available and what's not.
Right. That's a really great point, Tom, because having worked in the service industry, that's one of the hardest things or one difficult thing. You're right. When you only have so many servings and you're out, you know, in 86, on the menu means we don't have any more. And so it's tough to keep track of that. So, yeah, if you have a good system where it can keep track of inventory, yeah, that's a big plus.
Or some restaurants do like a daily menu. As in, here's what we're cooking today. If you want it, you can have it. If not, go home.
Yeah, absolutely. 855-752-4842. Zomers, menu QR codes or paperless tickets? What's worse?
Even though I just said that, and I know there's logic for it, I think I have to say that menu QR codes are worse. I think in those situations where you need to keep it up to date, they're great. But otherwise, I feel like having a paper or a laminated menu is part of the experience of eating at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just another piece of the vibe at that place.
Got it.
Whereas a ticket to a concert or a game or a movie is usually just a rectangle, and it doesn't do anything for you while you're there.
I have a very specific reason for the one I think is worse, and it has everything to do with me and nothing to do with anybody else. It's my lack of confidence in myself for digital technology. And so therefore, I think paperless tickets are worse, because I always think, oh my God, what if my phone battery dies? What if it doesn't come through? What if it doesn't show up? It's out there in the cloud. I can't hang on to it. I can't. If I have a paper ticket, whether it's to a sports event or a movie or whatever, I have it in my hot little hands. I can put it in my pocket. I know exactly where it's at. I can touch it. I know I'm getting into the thing if I have my paper ticket. If it's on a phone, if it's on a device, there are a million things that could go wrong. It all goes back to almost everywhere I've worked in my entire adult career. At some point, somebody in the company has said, well, you can't mess it up. And inevitably, something on my computer or whatever, and I go to the IT person, the company, and they're like, wow, I don't know. Never seen that before.
I've witnessed this happen to Todd. I've been the person to say, oh, I haven't seen that.
Right. And people, I look at it, well, I don't know. I've never seen that before. It always happens to me. Now, if that happens at a restaurant, worst comes to worst, the server can tell me what the menu is, or I just order a burger. If I'm stuck 3 hours away at a concert or whatever, they're going to look at me and say, I don't know, dude, here's the number to call. So, I mean, that's, so yes, I think paperless tickets are worse. Off the text line, WMDX, QR code menus are great for those of us that are losing our nearsightedness. Oh, very good. And so it's backlit and you can make it larger if you want on the screen. Now there, that's fantastic, right? Because I've gotten to the age where you go out in the evening, like to a nicer place, or whatever, they bring you a menu, and the lighting is so bad, and I got to take out, I do take out my phone, and I either use the light from the screen, or I have to turn on my flashlight on the phone in order to read the menu. And younger, you know, my godsons, whoever, they, my nieces, you know, they laugh at this. They think it's hysterical that Todd has to take out his phone in order to read the paper menu. So I agree with you, caller on MDX. Tina, I guess that is. Tina, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in here in Madison on MDX. I totally agree with that. Tim, watching on YouTube, says paperless tickets are worse. In its historic game, I like having the ticket stub like Young's 3,000th hit, opening day at Miller Park, etc. There you go. Yeah, that's Zizou says, oh, Todd, one of those technology impaired folks, the kind where things don't work in a weird new way. Well, see, I'm just, as I said, I'm an analog guy living in a digital world.
I think you could make a lot in QA testing for software.
Yes, probably could. It doesn't matter whether you like to read your movie reviews in analog form or digital form. You can see his work at Screen Daily and the LA Times. Tim Grierson is next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock all across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along on a midday edition. Always fantastic to have along our next guest. He is the senior United States film critic at Screen Daily, also writes for the LA Times and several other publications. Always great to have him on the program. Welcome back, Tim Grierson. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Todd?
I am. It's fun to have you here because I enjoy talking film and movies with you. You know the genre. You're in Los Angeles. You know what's going on out there. And you bring knowledge to the broadcast, which is something that I don't do a lot of. So it's great to have you here.
I will do my best to bring a lot of knowledge. But no, I always love talking to you as well, Todd. So yeah, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're going to get into a little Nicolas Cage Film Fest here, but before we do, give us kind of the overall feel right now out in Los Angeles in the industry writ large, I guess. Because we had a couple of people on before talking about Los Angeles. I talked to somebody just last week who works in live theater in Los Angeles area, saying that some of the houses maybe not quite as full as they have been due to the economy or people kind of withholding their dollars that they might spend on fun and entertainment, reserving it for things at home. Have we seen the ticket sales at movie theaters go down lately, Tim?
I would say not in the last few weeks, because obviously Sinners has been a real phenomenon, and that's the new film by Ryan Coogler that's been a huge, huge hit and is an original story, which is even more exciting, I think, for Hollywood. It's the vampire film with Michael B. Jordan playing two roles. That one's been a huge hit. The fact that a 20-year-old Star Wars movie, the Phantom the Sith, that final
Revenge
one,
of the Sith, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith, yeah, that was brought back to theaters for its 20th anniversary and was also very successful this weekend. The fact that Minecraft movie is still doing very well. We're about ready to move into summer movie season this weekend with Thunderbolts, and I think the fact that the box office is already doing really well is a great sign. I think that in general, you still are experiencing the effect of two strikes, the writers and the actors strike. You are facing an economy that's in a bit of flux, just in general, because of all the Trump tariffs and like that. But I would say that right now the mood is optimistic because it's been a strong last couple of weekends at the box office. The fact that I think Thunderbolts is going to do pretty decently, the fact that there's a new Mission Impossible coming out later in May, there are some sizable hits that are hopefully going to be coming pretty soon. So we are not past sort of what it was like when COVID really destroyed theaters. We're not back to pre-COVID periods, but we're gaining ground, I would say, and that's encouraging.
No, absolutely. This Minecraft, I haven't seen it. Minecraft isn't really my cup of tea. But the cool thing about it to me is it's brought back a lot of kids, a lot of young people to theaters. And again, I guess I can't give, I don't want to give things away, but there, it seems to be the modern day version of like the Rocky Horror Picture Show where people are throwing things and stuff. I don't get it, but I'm happy for theater.
Yeah, my feeling is, I haven't seen the movie, I haven't had a chance to see it yet either, but I think that that sort of audience participation thing has helped fuel that box office phenomenon. And whether it's family audiences or maybe a slightly older audience, for Sinners, that's very, very, that's a net positive. Even if there are certain movies I haven't necessarily loved, if they're doing well at the theater and they're not just Marvel movies and there are other types of films out there. I loved Steven Soderbergh's Black Bag that came out a few weeks ago. Really wish that had done better at the box office. Sadly, that did not. The big question is, will there be enough movies that the adults, the grown-ups will want to go see? Sinners suggests that that answer is yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen Sinners yet, but I heard it's a really great film from people who have. One of the things that one of the reviews that you wrote here on this new movie called The Surfer, I have not seen it, and we're going to talk a little bit about, specifically zero in on Nicolas Cage and the actor that he is. Been around Hollywood a long time, and we just had the Wisconsin Film Festival here at Madison. This film, The Surfer, was part of the Wisconsin Film Festival. I went to a couple other, well, just a bit outside the store of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, which I'll put a plug in. It's a great film, available on Roku now, by the way. But that was being shown here on campus. But The Surfer was as well. And to the T, I talked to, not to exaggerate, 6-7 people who did see it. Every one of them said it was one of the best Nicolas Cage films they'd ever seen.
Yeah, I was a little less enthused.
I know you were.
About
I,
it.
I read the review.
Yeah, so I saw it because it premiered at Cannes, at the Cannes Film Festival last year, and I saw it right before I left. And Cannes is every May, and I saw it here in Los Angeles before the festival. I would say it's an okay Nicolas Cage movie, and I think, and in general, I am somebody who is always interested in his work, even if his movies are not great. And I think that he's had some good work recently. I thought he was great in the horror film Long Legs that came out last year. I think he's really quite tremendous in that. The Surfer, which I believe opens this weekend in select theaters, it is a kind of Nicolas Cage movie, just really fast in terms of the plot. He plays an Australian father who is taking his son to kind of a remote beach in Australia that he loved growing up. Some local toughs, there's like a gang that give him a bunch of grief and tell him like this is a...
They're called like the Bad Boys or something. It seems like a weird name.
They're the Bay Boys.
Oh, the
and
Bay Boys. Okay.
They're the Bay Boys, and they say it's only for locals and beat it, essentially. And they really sort of like verbally humiliate the Nicolas Cage character in front of his son. And it's one of a series of things that are going wrong for this father over the course of The Surfer, and the movie becomes sort of more and more, I wouldn't say unhinged, that's kind of not the right way of describing it, but we get more of a sense of this character's mental fracturing as the film goes on. A movie I'd almost sort of compare it to, even though it's about 35 years old now, is Michael Douglas's Falling Down. It's one of those types of films in which we are watching someone unravel, and it allows Nicolas Cage to do some of his over-the-top Nicolas Cage things. He drinks a puddle of water, if I remember correctly, at one point. He does kind of lose his mind. He starts to sort of not be able to distinguish reality from maybe what he is imagining at certain points. So for people who like Nicolas Cage when he really dials it up, there are some interesting things in it. I think the movie lets him down in certain ways. I think the movie wants to talk about some things. It wants to talk about toxic masculinity. It wants to talk about this idea, especially I think among men, equating material success with happiness. And I think that Nicolas Cage character is suffering from that in the movie. But I don't think it really kind of adds up too much. So for me, it's kind of more of a second or third tier Nicolas Cage.
So was it just the way it was the shot? I mean, did the cinematography really look great? Why are these people that saw it telling me it was a good movie? Or they're just not smart like a film critic like you? I don't get it.
Well, I wouldn't say smart. I would say that I do see a lot of Nicolas Cage movies, and so I don't know what these folks sort of like how many of his recent movies they've seen, because that could be it. But I also think sometimes at a film festival, it's just fun to see stuff early. And I think we're all susceptible at a film festival just because we're going to see something early that there's a built-in sort of excitement or wanting something to be good. I mean, but also these people might legitimately like it. I have to say that the movie's gotten mostly good to mixed reviews. I may be on the lower side of it, so you could maybe talk to a couple other film critics this week who might tell you that they liked it. I just think that it's not. I've seen him do more interesting things recently in movies that I've liked more. I just don't think. I think Nicolas Cage is sort of an interesting figure because I think he makes so many films, and I think it's very easy to take for granted or make assumptions about the type of movies that he makes now. I think a lot of people, and I'm not including the people that you talk to at the festival, but I think that there's an assumption now in the culture that Nicolas Cage just makes these crazy movies where he's bug-eyed and he's freaking out and doing all these types of like weird and wacky things. And that's a subgenre of the types of movies that he does. And I suppose The Surfer falls into that category, but I think it's trying to be a little more thoughtful. It's trying to do more than just have him be like wild and crazy. A movie like Long Legs, like I said, that was a big hit last year. He's very, very, very stripped down and very menacing as a result. So much so that he, you know, the Neon, the company that put out Long Legs, really de-emphasized him in the advertising because they did not want people to know that Nicolas Cage was even in it. And Nicolas Cage was behind that decision of kind of surprising people in terms of just how ghoulish and restrained and eerie that he is, because it's not the Nicolas Cage I think that we now associate. I mean, he's done so many great performances. And like you said, this is an actor who's been making movies since the mid-1980s. It's, you know, he has been around for quite some time now. That's what, 40 years of making movies. And there's no one type of Nicolas Cage movie. Some of his performances I just like better than others.
We're talking with Tim Grierson, who is the senior U.S. film critic at Screen Daily, also writes for the Los Angeles Times, Rolling Stone, and others. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. We got a couple of minutes here, I guess 3 minutes before the break here, before we bring it back. But talk just a minute, Tim, about Nicolas Cage, born into kind of an elite film family, got started quickly, and then went through this funk, and now has kind of made this comeback in more recent years. He's an interesting character in and of himself.
Yeah, I mean, this is a person who did not want to use the Coppola name. He's in the Francis Ford Coppola family, for people who don't know. He wanted to change his name so that he didn't have that. Either as a benefit or maybe a deterrent. He just wanted to be his own person. And, you know, this is a person who won a Best Actor Oscar in the early 1990s, then transitioned to becoming a huge action star. That career has kind of gone by the wayside and now does these sort of like quirky indies. He occasionally does something like he did a voice in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So he also does mainstream movies soon or recently. But he's a guy who just you kind of can't pin down and does a lot of different films and a lot of different genres. And I think that's what makes him still so fascinating and still so interesting, because you don't exactly know what you're going to get from a Nicolas Cage movie.
About a minute left here before we have to, we're getting right news to a new clock. I apologize. A minute and a half here before I have to break. Give us one of your top Nicolas Cage movies before we go to break, Tim.
Well, I have to say my number one is his Oscar-winning movie, Leaving Las Vegas, which I still think is just a tremendous movie and a heartbreaking performance. He plays an alcoholic who goes to Las Vegas to essentially drink himself to death. And along the way, he meets the sex worker played by Elizabeth Shue, and they form this like really tender relationship near the end of his life. It is a really beautiful, beautiful performance. It shows the highs that he can do, but also the tenderness that he can bring to a performance.
Incredible. Talking with Nicolas Cage, talking movies, and we're talking with Tim Gerson from Screen Daily and the LA Times. Come back on the other side, talk more with him, and maybe take your phone calls as well. It's the Tom O'Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tom O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across Wisconsin you're listening to. Quick weather update, some rain tonight into tomorrow, and then, holy cow, like a whole straight week of sun and 70 degrees next week. I cannot wait. And then sports update with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, Maggie Dawn in after that, followed by Pete Schwabba and Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8 to round out the day's shows. Right now, talking with Tim Grierson. He is the senior U.S. film critic at Screen Daily, also writes a lot for the Los Angeles Times, Rolling Stone, among others. Always happy to have him along, focusing in on the actor Nicolas Cage and some of his top shows. I have to tell you, Tim, first of all, thanks again for being here. Zommers, very excited, because, I mean, I respect the actor, but Zommers, you know these movies by heart. You've seen a lot.
Well, I haven't seen all of his movies.
But
I've seen several.
Give us one of your favorite.
I think, to your point that you mentioned earlier about the range that he has and how not every movie has to be zany like Face Off and Mandy, while I love those, I love his performances in those, I think something like Pig is also a lot of fun to watch, just to see a much more nuanced and subtle emotional performance of somebody going through the grief of, you know, reliving past trauma and losing. Someone very close to him.
Right.
Tim?
Yeah. And I would also say on that, in terms of like indies that he's done somewhat recently that I also liked, his film Joe, I think, is really good and very, very underseen. It's a David Gordon Green film, who's probably still best known for Pineapple Express, but has also done a ton of lower budget indies. That film Joe, I think, is quite good. You know, and I also, I love something like Adaptation, which is, you know, playing Charlie Kaufman and Charlie Kaufman's brother at the same time. Those are really fun performances, but also very emotional performances. And then in a romantic comedy vein, something like Moonstruck, which I think a lot of people now kind of forget about, because obviously Cher won Best Actress for that, pretty deservingly, I would say. But, you know, her love interest in that movie is Nicolas Cage, and that was relatively early in his career. That's really good. Wild at Heart, his film he did with the late great David Lynch, is really quite something. I would also say, in terms of underrated Nicolas Cage performances, he's really tremendous in Martin Scorsese's Bringing Out the Dead, which I think was very much overlooked in the late 1990s. It was sort of written off as a sort of Taxi Driver ripoff, but I think it's actually a really, really great film and a great Nicolas Cage performance as a guy who works as an EMT and works like the night shifts and it's, you know, to use the surfer as an example of, well, what's a better version of one of a Nicolas Cage character unraveling? I would say Bringing Out the Dead is a really, really tremendous movie. Even I think big Scorsese fans aren't necessarily big fans of that movie. But I think it's a real gem. I think it's really, really great.
Okay, great recommendation. Casper listening on WMDX here in Madison, Raising Arizona, he says.
I mean, Raising Arizona is an all-time favorite. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt I love Raising Arizona. Again, early in his career, basically playing a live-action like Looney Tune character in certain ways. And of course, other people in that Coen Brothers movie are even more like animated, like Tasmanian devil-like characters. What he does in that movie is he plays a dumb guy, which is sort of a Coen Brothers specialty. But he does it so well and so genuinely. It's actually hard to play somebody who is dumb. Because I think it's very easy to just be like, oh, I'll just be like stupid or silly. But to actually have a through line as a guy who's not very bright, who thinks he's brighter than he is very hard to pull off. And Nicolas Cage is tremendous. So yeah, that person is absolutely correct. Raising Arizona is one of his all-time best films.
Heather watching on Facebook from Eau Claire, WCFW, up there, beautiful Eau Claire, says Matchstick Men is one of my favorites.
Yeah, Ridley Scott movie. And the only movie he's done with Ridley Scott, I believe.
Really?
And it's sort of like, it's a con artist movie that has like a lot of heart to it. It was in the, yeah, it's, and I think that movie is also a bit underrated, both for him and for Ridley Scott, because that was a kind of like post Gladiator era, if I remember correctly. But it's quite good as well. Yeah.
I think what you said earlier about having an actor that can get into not just play a character, but understand the thinking of that character, I have so much respect for, because it never done it, but I mean, I have to imagine as a viewer, you can, I don't know, not always, but it's the actors who can really get into that character emotionally and into them, what they're thinking inside, and create that character, then pull that off. I have so much respect for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, he is an actor who, you know, if nothing else, invests himself fully into things that he does. And, you know, sometimes he goes to crazy extremes that don't always work because of that. But he is someone who, he cares a lot about performances. That is not an automatic, like, that makes you a great actor, because I think a lot of actors care about what they're doing. But the level of care and the level of craft and the level of thinking, it's worth pointing out that as extreme as he gets, and I'm also a big Face Off fan. I mean, Face Off is something where he's playing one person, but essentially playing two people in the same movie. He's essentially playing John Travolta for half of that movie. And the thought that goes into how to play that might seem just sort of extreme or funny on screen, but there's actually a lot of thought that goes into that. So in some ways, he's underrated in terms of the craft that he brings to his work.
Matt in Richland Center listening to WRCE says, The Rock is a wonderful piece of trash. I love it. Okay. There's.
It's quite good. It's his best pure action movie outside of Face Off. I agree.
Tim Gerson, always fantastic. You can find Tim's work at Screen Daily and Los Angeles Times, amongst others. Thanks for taking the time today. We really appreciate it, Tim.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day, guys.
You as well. Also, thanks to Pat Kreitlow for being on earlier, and to all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.